When does a phenomenon become the unknown? When all attempts at understanding fail, and those who thirst for knowledge and understanding watch as research turns to ash in their mouth. As the phenomenon turns from a riddle to be solved into anomalous fascination. Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in to episode 17 of the Anomalous Fascination Podcast. I'd like to say hello to many of our new listeners who have come on board recently. It's wonderful to watch as folks work their way up through the back catalog up to the present episodes. As always, if you love the show and want to show your support, tell a friend about it. There are a lot of podcasts out there these days, but unless you're already famous, folks won't know to listen unless someone recommends it to them. And of course, thank you again to all those who have recommended the show already. It genuinely means the world. It's been a while since we've delved much into the way of science and space. Approximately 16 episodes, in fact. So I decided to bring you all an interesting, unsolved, and unexplainable proposal that may seem like paranormal nonsense at first glance. But it is truly something that many of the greatest minds of our time have debated for the greater part of the last century. Given that February was a shorter than average month, and no paranormal episode was released this past month, I thought this would be a nice middle ground. And now, on with the episode. It's the summer of 1950. Four friends and co-workers sit down in their work's cafeteria. But it probably isn't quite what you're envisioning. Because the cafeteria is that which belongs to the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. And the friends and co-workers are physicists Edward Teller, Herbert York, Emil Konopinski, and Enrico Fermi. Before eating and just having casual conversation about the goings-on of the day, when one of them brings up recent discussions on UFO reports and faster-than-light travel. Nothing too seriously, of course, just some brief discussion, some what-ifs, and most importantly, just laughing it all off. The topic changed back to more mundane conversation for several minutes, but Fermi seemed to be a bit distracted. As the conversation waned on, Fermi, seemingly apropos of nothing, stated loudly, "But where is everybody?" This stopped the conversation abruptly, because despite its vagueness and the time had elapsed since the original conversation, they all immediately knew what he was saying. Where is everybody? Meaning, where are the extraterrestrials? Let's take a stroll, shall we? I would consider myself an open-minded person. Though, as many of you know from listening to past episodes, I can sometimes scoff a bit at alien theories used to explain, well, roughly 75% of the subjects I've covered on this show. But, similar to the reincarnation episode, I do greatly appreciate typically paranormal or scientifically dismissed subjects explored through a scientific lens. So when I heard about this story, and what would become known as the Fermi Paradox, I was pretty excited to look into it. So first off, the Fermi Paradox in its most basic form is the conflict between the probability and mathematics that support intelligent life being common in the known universe and the total lack of evidence to support that. Basically, sure, everything points to the fact that alien life should be all over, But why haven't we found anything that points to that? Now, sure, Enrico Fermi asked the question that day, and therefore the paradox was given his name. But Fermi would only live a few more years after this event, as he passed away in 1954. But in spite of that, the concept was used for decades after, as more and more research went into both space travel and things such as radio telescopes that we discussed in the WOW signal. Because if the math was there, that advanced civilizations are out there, we had to start looking and listening for them. Here are the main aspects and figures of the Fermi paradox. There are an estimated 200 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy alone, and 70 sextillion, which is 7 times 10 to the 22nd power, in the observable universe. Then extrapolate that further, with the amount of planets, moons, etc., that accompany those suns. An absolutely remarkable number of potential locations for life. Even if only the most infinitesimally small number of those planets could sustain life, there would still be an incredibly large number of existing civilizations, and even some in the Milky Way galaxy. Then, the second aspect of this comes down to, okay, so now we have a large number of planets with intelligent life. Now what? Because even intelligent life doesn't mean a bunch of space dogs and geckos are going to hop in spaceships and come visiting Earth. So further breakdown is then done to the original number to figure out how many of those planets with intelligent life would then be advanced enough to have this technology. And the fact is, when all the approximate calculations are run, based on various principles and numbers that I cannot even begin to explain, there are still so very many estimated advanced civilizations that should exist in the known universe. Most of whom would have come into existence millions of years before Earth, and thus had a real jump in terms of advancement of technology surpassing our own. Yet the question still remains. Where are they? According to further analysis, if interstellar travel is possible for a civilization, even if its technological grasp were only the same as Earth's, it would only take 5 million to 50 million years to colonize the entire galaxy. And yes, only 5 to 50 million years, because in the realm of galaxies, suns, and planets, that's a drop in the bucket. And as I mentioned, with so many stars being older than our sun within both the galaxy and the known universe, these civilizations would be everywhere by now. And if not everywhere, then at least somewhere detectable from Earth. Even if colonizing the galaxy isn't the aim of these civilizations, surely intellectual curiosity would have had unmanned probes sent off to explore and discover if there was life outside of their own planet. Or, of course, if distance was an issue or travel was undesirable, by now, some sort of observable signs of intelligence would have been detectable somewhere, even in far-off solar systems. But yet, all we have for evidence of such life forms is conspiracy theories and unscientific hearsay. The scientific community hates mysteries, and furthermore, paradoxes. So basically the majority of things we cover on this show. So while the scientific research may not be as mainstream as it was back in the 50s and 60s, they're still out there gathering data. There was even an equation since developed by Frank Drake, famed astronomer and astrophysicist who founded the nonprofit organization SETI, or the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. This equation would actually calculate the number of technologically advanced civilizations in the Milky Way galaxy, or N. Now, please bear with me, I tried to figure out the best way to explain this equation in the least words possible, but listen, scientists and mathematicians clearly have more time than podcast listeners. So bear with me. The equation is N equals the rate of formation of stars times the fraction of stars with planetary systems times the number of planets per solar system suitable for organic life times the fraction of those planets where organic life actually appears times the fraction of inhabitable planets where intelligent life appears times the fraction of civilizations advanced enough to send detectable signals times the length of time those civilizations dispatch their signal. Which honestly, the equation sounds extremely impressive. And it honestly would be a wonderful tool except for one small problem. 4 out of the 7 variables to solve for n are completely unknown. So even rough estimates cannot be proposed using this equation yet. But I suppose that's why this is all a paradox. We have all the math and theories that say one thing, but then the results simply don't exist. But now that we know what the paradox is, let's take a quick break and explore various explanations or misunderstandings that may explain everything. It's really remarkable thinking back on the original founding of the Fermi paradox. Because at the time, we really didn't have any way to confirm or explore either half of it. We now have models that predict billions of habitable worlds in just the Milky Way alone. Whereas in Fermi's time, it was mere speculation. And at the time, there was really no way of declaring that there were no signs of alien life without searching for it first. Which then began in 1960 with the continuous searches via radio telescope and the like. But I suppose you could say Fermi was a pretty bright guy with a few minor accomplishments. Winning a Nobel Prize in 1938 for his work in radioactivity, building the first prototype of a nuclear reactor, working to create the atomic bomb, and even had an element named after him. Element 100, fermium. So what are some of the solutions to this problem? Many have been proposed over the years, and all of them seem to hold at least some water. First off, it's possible that extraterrestrial life is rare or non-existent. That the processes, elements, and biology needed for evolution of species is simply unique to Earth. Essentially dismissing the idea that Earth is a usual or normal planet, which is a huge factor in many equations. Or furthermore, another theory suggests maybe it's extraterrestrial intelligence that's hard to come by. Even if it's possible that more complex beings come to exist, who's to say that any of those life forms can become intelligent? There's not a whole lot of justification to this hypothesis, but it did carry one of the best titles ever. The Algae versus Alumni Problem. Get it? Then there are a couple of hypotheses I really like, and are a couple of the more logical ones I've read into. The Periodic Extinction by Natural Events Hypothesis, and it is the nature of intelligent life to destroy itself hypothesis. And yes, those were really the names for both of the hypotheses. Fortunately, both are pretty self-explanatory. But let me explain just the basics. Many of the earlier ideas for why scientists have considered alien life to have evolved so far and colonized the galaxy, or made contact with other civilizations, made one significant assumption. That 5 million to 50 million years was a, quote, drop in the bucket. Because as Earth has shown, mass extinction events can come along and ruin everything. Not to mention, taking a look at the Cuban Missile Crisis. And frankly, the past 60 years. Intelligent life is certainly capable of speeding things along in the extinction department. So it is entirely possible that some advanced civilizations have existed, but an extinction level whoopsie wiped them all out. Others include things like the water world hypothesis, which suggests that perhaps many worlds where intelligent life would thrive are underwater and therefore would not be detectable or capable of the same technology as humans. Another suggests that perhaps we just live out in the sticks of the universe of our galaxy. That perhaps there's a whole lot going on out there, with numerous planets and civilizations aware of each other's existence, but we're just so far out, neither they or we have discovered one another. Or lastly, that most alien civilizations just aren't that interested in space and what lies beyond their planet. I mean, heck, even people on Earth aren't that concerned about it. So, what did all of this achieve? Those who don't believe in alien life will likely continue that way. And those who believe aliens are here with us already likely will too. And to anyone out there who may be screaming, "What are you talking about? We have so much evidence of alien life." That's fine, but you'll need to talk to the ghost of Enrico Fermi, not me. The subject, though, is meant to be unsolved, as it always is on this show. But I'll tell you what. If there is one thing I got out of researching all of this, is that I genuinely had no idea how probable it was that advanced life was out there. And not just in a few places. Hundreds, thousands, millions of them. Scientists will continue to research advanced technology and continue listening through their radio telescopes every hour of every day. And frankly, when we talk about the universe and time frames and the millions and billions of years, only 60 years of us listening is not exactly enough to jump to any conclusions. It's genuinely so interesting to think that we could go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow morning to news of contact with another civilization. Would that not change everything? But until that time, one last thought. The SETI paradox, named after the group established by Frank Drake. It asks an interesting question. Perhaps the reason we have no evidence of intelligent life is because everyone in the universe is out there listening, but no one is sending. Just dozens, hundreds, or thousands of civilizations listening for some sign that they're not alone, with no way of broadcasting a signal strong enough to be heard. And let's face it, if our technology evolved and we could finally broadcast a signal strong enough, and suddenly everyone in the universe could hear our call and realize they're not alone. But sadly, in a moment of tremendous irony, despite our amazing success, we would have no idea because they couldn't reply back. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Anomalous Fascination. If you'd like to keep in touch with the show, you can find me at AnomalyPod on Facebook and Twitter, or email me at anomalousfascination@gmail.com. And if you love the show, hop on Apple Podcasts and leave the show a nice 5-star rating and review. Or even just tell a friend about it. And until next time, thanks for listening.